But Lord, we know that the enemy is always going to be faithful to come against you, to come against your faithfulness, to come against any way that we might believe in you, that he's always ready there to tempt us to doubt you and to say that God wasn't faithful to provide what I needed or tell me what I needed to know or to meet me halfway, or it's the way I used to say it. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy to confuse us or distract us or to block us or to cause us to doubt you, Lord, in any way. We choose to believe that Jesus Christ in us, we're a majority. We choose to believe that we have the strength, we have the energy, we have the knowledge, we have the anointing, we have everything that we need. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy against us, our pets, possession, and property, everything, and everybody that we care about in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we say that we receive our spiritual power and authority to cancel the assignments of the enemy, and that there's no demonic spirit on earth or anywhere else that does not have to bow to the name of Jesus. And that it's not about us, it's about who Jesus is. And in the name of Jesus, we say that every hex, spell, curse, or incantation, every backup assignment, backup forces, or any other assignment is all canceled, that there can't be any kite-tail curses or anything to back up those curses, and that every demonic spirit that's in us or around us or on this property has to leave now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And that any spirit anywhere near here is tied and gagged. They cannot speak, cannot influence us. No one can even astral project into this building. That we place a hedge of protection and a wall of fire around us. Right. And that we are in a perfectly safe place to be open and transparent before the Holy Spirit. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into our lives, even into the back rooms where we don't go. And to shine your little flashlight and show us strongholds that have been in hiding, things that have been transferred to us, things that we've agreed with in the past that are not you. And we choose you ahead of time, Lord. We choose to come into full 100% agreement with the power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God that's here. We want to be in relationship with you, God. We want the mental strongholds that block our spirit to come down.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, we want every sinful reaction and sinful behavior that we've had to be exposed at least as much as you know needs to be exposed, so that we can be in total agreement with you.
Yes.
And that we can go forth encouraged and confidence with a clear conscience, and know that we are vessels of the Most High God, and what comes out of our mouth will be an expression of the heart of God.
Yes.
And that we will use our time and energy in any way that you want, and that we will release you, put our bodies and mouths and hands at your disposal, our finances, our schedule, our priorities, everything else, and release you to live your all-powerful life through us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for a couple testimonies. Listening to me will not set you free. But it's praying the scripture like Jesus did. It is written, it is written. That's what sets us free. He had to do it at least 40 days. So I know we have to do it that long or longer. So now I want to go on tonight to give extra definition to what a mental stronghold is versus a demonic stronghold. But at least what a mental stronghold is before we go on to the first stronghold in the course. You might say this is a stronghold, a mental stronghold. See, when we were little and we learned how to figure out things and how to make choices, our mind kind of took the throne. Our mind wanted to be in charge. We wanted to understand things. We wanted to know what was going on. We wanted to make our own choices. And our mind is usually on the throne unless we make an on-purpose decision for our spirit to be in charge. We have to learn. And hopefully we had good role models. Some did, some didn't. But what is a mental stronghold? See, first of all, a whole lot of people in church are just taught about Jesus. They're not even taught they could really know Jesus intimately.
Right.
I was 18 years old, even though I'd been in very good churches, before I met anyone whose Christian life I really envied in a good way. I just had to have what they had. And this one person, I just loved to listen to Dr. Fugin talk about Jesus. I would have recorded if we had handheld recorders back then. I knew that he knew Jesus in a way that I didn't. And I was saved. And all these folks are saved. But we need an intimate relationship with Jesus. And that has to be, is it mind to spirit or spirit to spirit?
Spirit
to spirit.
Spirit.
You can't have an intimate spiritual relationship through your mind. Got it?
True.
You can know somebody like, you know, I know you, which isn't all that intimate, you know, I've met you. You can know them better than that. You can know about them, but you can't have an intimate spiritual relationship through your mind. And most of us have been taught to relate to God through our minds.
That's right.
You know, we read about what he used to do. We learn verses, and all that's good. But if somebody told us that Jesus actually visits them very frequently in their home, or they have visions or dreams that are from God and all, then we're getting into a place that's not happening. You can't make that happen in your mind. You know, and you might wonder if that's real or if it's good or if it's God. But I got to the place where I said, God, anything that you gave anybody in the Bible that's just offered to the public, I want it. So I thought I had really made some progress when I started saying, I want it all. Whatever the price, I want it all. And then Jesus took me to another place. He said, better than that, start confessing, because you have me, you have it all. Start believing you've got it all. You've just got to remember to give me permission to live the life through you, or to give you dreams and visions, or, you know, to help you live in the spiritual realm. Instead of just knowing about what I could have, which is the Christian life I had had so far, I can have it. I can live it. I can enjoy it. And that's what Jesus had in mind all along. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's look at this chart on the difference between separated thinking and one spirit with his spirit. Or if you want to put extra labels on it, you could call the separated thinking side living out of your mind. And sometimes, but not necessarily all the time, it's living out of your flesh. Do you have this chart?
Yes.
No, this chart. I'm going to move quickly through this, so that's why I put it down so you could actually see it. And this can become a prayer. See, Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one with him as he's one with the Father. And that is like way out there to me. That is hard to imagine, because he and the Father are one. And he said, but you and I can be one, you know, receive it. And that's what we need to do with every bit of this. Just pray the verse, say, God, I don't get it yet, but I receive it, you know. And so I'm going to pick at some things, or at least I'll sound like I'm picking at them. But I'm hoping you'll be able to understand why I put them on the left side. I'm not saying that I condemn people that use these phrases, but I want us, at least us, to believe the fullness of what's offered and not get confused by what these phrases might seem to say. Like when we say, come be with us today, what does that sound like we believe?
We've got it all.
That he's not in us.
Right.
See, if we have to pray for him to come be with us every day, see, that's like Old Testament thinking, where the Holy Spirit would come and go. He would come upon them and anoint them for a specific event or a specific obedience of some kind. But they weren't indwelt like we are. We've got it way better. Way better. I've quit praying that, actually. I've started just believing that he's already in me, so I don't have to go through that part. That Christ is in me, and I'm in him, and I am never alone. I used to see Jesus more like he's up in the stands at a football game, and I'm out there knocking. Well, I've never played football when I'm talking about. You're out there knocking yourself out in the mud and the rain. And he's like the father that's up there saying, you can do better, run harder, why'd you fall, why'd you miss that ball? That's how I used to see God. Now I know he's out there in me in the mud. He's playing through me. It's not this taskmaster up in the stands. I used to believe as if I had an unregenerate nature that was still in me. I thought separated. I didn't think it was possible for me to really be one with him. Because I still kind of pictured myself as that old unsaved person. Then I realized that I really am partaker of divine nature. It's a new spirit. When we say born again, what was born again? Did we get a new body? Not yet. Did we get a whole new mind, will, and emotions? Not really.
No.
What was new?
Spirit.
A new spirit. And it's a partaker of the divine nature. And we can choose to believe that we really can partake. We really can live out of that divine nature. And you might say, well, I haven't done very good so far, but we're here to believe that we will. And I have to share the gospel according to Chuck. Now, if I repeat a story, please stop me, because we don't want to waste time on repetition. Did I tell you the gospel according to Chuck? He was an old boy I knew from North Georgia. And he said, this old man thing, he said it's about like going down the road and seeing a dead possum on the side of the road. And I thought, let's not focus on that for long. But he said, some of you that believe that you've got that old man, which Romans 6 says is dead, you're like, instead of just knowing it's on the side of the road and every time you drive by, you look at it again. He said, those of you that believe you still got that old unsaved nature, he said, it's like you picked up that possum and tied it to your belt and you carry it with you everywhere you go. You still believe it's part of you. Do you think I ever forgot that teaching that the old man, the old possum, whatever, is dead? And that we need to let it be dead and buried. We don't have to carry that old nature around. We can believe God that it's dead. Now, however, as somebody asked last time, we do have a problem. We have to keep taking this flesh to Jesus to bring to death on the cross. But we're not a slave to sin anymore, this says. Romans 6 says we're not a slave to sin anymore. But then some of us get hung up on when God asks us to submit to His authority or to some authority He's put over us. Some of us, that's the place where our mind gets into gear and it starts going, you don't want to do this. You don't want to be submitted. You've got to be in control. And part of that is because we think of it as a two-power universe. Some people are afraid the devil's in control sometimes and the God's in control sometimes. Now, I don't have time tonight to teach on sovereignty. It's a great subject. But we need to realize it's a one-power universe. God says He has all the power on heaven and earth. And the devil only can do as much as God lets him do.
That's right.
And it's only safe if we're submitted to God. It's only safe. Some people say, you know, it's really risky to just give God permission to do anything He wants to do. And I said, no, that's not the risk. The risk is when you won't let God, when you won't agree with God. That's when you're in a big risk. And so we have to change our thinking because our mind will say, God wants you to do this, but He doesn't know you don't have the money and they won't like you when you get there and you sin too bad already. And I have to say, no, God knows it all. And the only safe place for me on this planet is in agreement with God.
Amen.
If He wants to set it up, set me up to do something that I can't do, that means He's going to do a miracle. That's all. And then He'll get the glory because everybody will know I couldn't have done it. Hallelujah. So Christianity is just a code of ethics or a religion to some people. And they reduce it to the do's and the don'ts. A lot of us grew up on good old Pentecostal preaching or somehow that was mostly, I shouldn't pick on anybody, but it's mostly do's and don'ts. You know? And we, at least we got so distracted by the do's and don'ts, a lot of us missed the part about the intimate relationship with Jesus. And so I liked it when I went with Campus Crusade. They didn't have any dress rules or anything. They just kept emphasizing being filled with the Spirit. Now, they didn't believe in being filled with the Spirit like I do, but I like how they emphasize, if you're filled with the Spirit, we don't have to give you all these rules.
That's right.
And they said, besides that, if you're witnessing to somebody from a fraternity or a sorority, and they've got a higher standard than you do, then raise yours. Mm-hmm. That's what they taught. That was in the rule. The rules were about this long. Make sure yours isn't lower than the heathen you're witnessing to. Hallelujah. So we're going to believe in an intimate relationship, that we're loved just as much as a new bride, that we can trust Him. And the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So instead of just having a head knowledge about God, we can believe that as we pray these scriptures, the Word is going to be illumined, that we're going to get rhema revelation. Do you know that God can speak to you through the written Word and through the spoken Word? Rhema means spoken. Do you get what you believe for? We can believe anywhere we've just got head knowledge, we can ask God. Just invite Him to give me revelation. Illuminate your Word.
Yes.
Give me a spirit-to-spirit knowledge of this. Because a lot of these verses that we pray, if you're real honest, if you pray it enough, you're going to realize, I don't believe this as much as I'd like to think I believe it. You know, it's tough. But we can quit depending on external guidance and opinions of people. And while we'll consider those, that we will believe that we are Spirit-led, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness. Like if somebody does give you some good guidance, you can take that to the Holy Spirit and He will either bear witness to it or say that wasn't quite it. And that we can be accountable to God. And we don't have to do everything people tell us to do. Because even though it might have been right for them, it still doesn't mean it's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do.
That's right.
And then I was a theology major, so this was a big one for me, not to just see God in terms of theology and doctrine and dispensations and traditions, but to believe that I can experience God every day of my life in line with the Word. But I believe we can have as much
that's
of God as we want.
That's right.
I really do.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's Him that's holding it a clenched fist behind His back. It's us that's scared to, to welcome the Holy Spirit. Remember what I told you last time? Say, Holy Spirit, anytime, anyway, anywhere, with anybody. This week I'll add another one, at any price. You know somebody loves you when they do anything for you. Well, He's the same way. So, we can give up on self-effort. I mean, if you could get to heaven by keeping the law in your own strength, you'd still have to keep every last one and not miss a single one. So let's just give up on that. Holiness by works. The holiness ladies down in Florida invited me to speak 4 times. I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm going to come with jewelry, fingernail polish, pants, just like you see me today, dyed hair, makeup. They said it's okay. And you know what I had to teach them on? Not somebody else's problem, right? I taught them on that Romans 5 says that righteousness is a gift because of what Jesus did for us. And they had me back 3 more times. And they kept me going for 3 or 4 hours because they had been taught righteousness is about what we do, right? And I said, there is a name for that, but it's called self-righteousness. And one of them told me, they said, a lady came to our church with makeup last week, and boy, did the women talk about her. And I said, at my church, that would have been called gossip, and it would have been a sin.
That was your last cut there, I guess.
Nope, they had me back. They just couldn't understand it. So, holiness. Jesus is holiness inside me. And then, a lot of times we want to depend on our reasoning. This is called rationalism. Rationalism is one of the biggest isms in the United States. We've got to understand everything and think it through and figure it out. And when you go to a school, if they do have courses on like the arts and or dreams or visions or intuitive type things, they're just electives. Because in our culture, it's the things that you can figure out that are the main courses, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic and all. But the things that involve your spirit, that can God really speak to you through dreams, through visions? Can you believe, God, that during this course sometime He will really visit you and you will have a visitation? If you'd like to hear examples of that, you can go to my website and there's one on Now Faith TV right now, a recording of a visitation. If you join, then you get to hear the whole thing. But I have several of those. Where they just, I encourage them to believe for it. Jesus shows up right then and there. Of course, He was inside them already. And He literally just took her back in her childhood and started just working through things. He bought her ice cream and pushed her in a swing first. And then He just started taking her. It was just so precious. Nothing scary about it. Just as personable as it can be. I got to throw this in too. I don't know if we're going to finish this in 9 weeks.
Okay.
I was at a church, the one where we met in Atlanta, and they had an awesome youth director there. He's as fun as he could be, Adrian. I don't know if you ever met Adrian. But he told us this one night. He said, I just got to tell you what happened in children's church. He said, I asked him, what would you do if Jesus walked in the room right now? You know what they said? One said, I'd jump in his lap. Another one said, I'd hug him. The other one said, I'd hug him and kiss him. I'd kiss him twice. I'd buy him an ice cream. No matter that there wasn't any ice cream anywhere near. All positive responses. If Jesus walked in the room right now and was standing up here, what would you do?
I'd buy him an ice cream.
Most people, what would they start thinking?
If that's not Jesus.
Oh, well, that's a thought, yeah. But what if it was?
Boy, am I in trouble.
They'd start thinking condemnation.
Yeah. Run out of here.
Yeah. They wouldn't believe, in other words. You know. Yeah,
but he's just as happy to see you as he can
be.
He knows where you've messed up. He's still as happy to see you as he can be. He's here to help. So if you'll just let me live it through you, we'll get this done.
Right.
Well, we're going to learn where we are. And that's not just mental. Our spirit will learn to yield to His Spirit. And where we feel accused or guilty or condemned or punished, if we think, I don't know if I wanted visitation from Jesus or not, I'll just feel all that stuff. We can begin to believe that we are totally forgiven. He gave me a vision once where He was showing me the pages of my life written down, and boy, there were three particular instances. Since then, there's more that I just kind of wanted to know what was on those pages and kind of didn't. He showed it to me. The first episode, it was like blank. Then I got braver and I wanted to see the next most critical failure moment. And I could tell that it didn't even look like it had been erased. It looked like there was a drop of blood on it. And in the third time, I could tell it's like there's never been anything on that page. Except the positive stuff was there. What I'm supposed to be believing about it. And I went, you know, this is real. This is real. That's really how He sees us, through the cross, through the blood. That's why He did it.
That's right.
So instead of pleading with God for help because we are just sure that we're inadequate, in a way you can go ahead and settle this. Without Christ, you are inadequate. You're inferior. You're all that stuff you believe you are. But that's without Christ. With Christ, who is our comforter, our teacher, He's a warrior, He's love, He's everything. He's all the fruit. Everything that you spend all this time praying for, you've already got it because you've got it in Him inside you. So my prayers got shorter. I started believing I already have all the fruit of the Spirit inside me. I just need to give Him permission to release the fruit of the Spirit instead of the peace of my mind I wanted to give Him. So I was living in self-deception and control and manipulation, trying to make things come out the way I wanted them to come out. And when I began to be submitted to His sovereign control, see, living out of the Spirit instead, submitting to the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit that's in me, then everything started changing. Life started getting easier. And even when there were attacks, if I could stay in the Spirit, then I had confidence that Jesus is in control here. And I became less intimidated and had more courage to say what He wanted me to say. I still have challenges all the time. This course doesn't make you perfect. But the goal is to keep agreeing with the Spirit of God. And so, another thing that I dropped was that my mind kept telling me, God is using me. And I saw myself in poverty and lack and kind of still had my doormat identity. Those of you that know how assertive I am now can hardly imagine that I was a doormat most of my life. And unfulfilled. And I even dropped the used by God phrase. You don't have to. But I see it now as more of a partnership. It's He and I together. And some of you that have felt used and abused in the past, I give you permission to drop the used if you want to. And just believe that He is edifying you, training you Himself, equipping you, so that you will be His bride, partnering with Him. You work together. It's always together. And some people say, well, you know, it wasn't me, it was all Jesus. You know, if you sing a good solo, I've never done that, but, you know, they'll say that was wonderful. They say, oh, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. But see, Galatians 2:20 says, and not I alone, but Christ in me. You really are a partnership. He can't sing that solo without your mouth. You know what I'm saying? He really does value us as partners. Amos says that God doesn't do anything but what He tells one of His prophets first.
Right.
Why does God limit Himself to working through people? I don't know. Maybe He really is about relationship. Maybe He really is. And you know how you feel used when somebody just wants the job done, but it's obvious they don't care about you? He's not that way. So we just focus on the job we think He wants us to do, but He really cares about us. So our identity won't be based on the opinions of others anymore and what our mind tells us that their mind is thinking. Haven't you just worried yourself silly sometimes, imagining what somebody else is thinking about you or saying about you? That's what our minds can do. But when we live out of the Spirit, we have our identity based on God's truth. Now, if you're going to become a real warrior, an intercessor, I know some of you are interested in being warriors and intercessors, and on different ministry teams. You have to have this. You have to keep saying, in fact, I have an appendage that I don't think you have in yours, who I am in Christ verses. That's the most extensive one I've seen. So instead of figuring out what God's will is with cognitive thinking, I used to make decisions by just adding up the pros and cons. And that's good to look at what the pros and cons are. But now I trust my spiritual eyes and ears and senses and mind and discernment. Now some of you immediately might think, you don't know where my eyes have been. I cannot trust my eyes. If that's the case, then just take those eyes and that sin and lay it on the altar and give your eyes back to God. You have to do it every day, do it. but begin to believe that you're living through your spiritual eyes. His eyes. Spiritual ears, spiritual senses, spiritual mind, spiritual discernment. Okay? We can believe that we're insecure. We can believe according to our circumstances, go up and down with those. Or we can believe that regardless of how things look, that all our needs are supplied. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had one of my former students correct me before I could get over here tonight. I sent her a picture of the latest property that we're considering. And I said, see, your dream is being fulfilled. And she said, no. She said, the property in my dream, remember, it was much bigger. She described it to me again. And I remember God had been telling Lou and I to pray bigger, that we don't pray God size. And I thought, my students are correcting me and say, see things as big as God sees them. And then what will my mind immediately go to if I think of buying a bigger property? What's my mind going to say? Need more money. Don't have the money. See, that's what minds do. What does spirit say? God can afford anything he wants. Okay, it'll have to be a miracle. Well, okay, God likes miracles. That's his job. My job is just to believe. So, is my soul in charge? Am I going to be double-minded and doubting all the time and worrying, looking at the negative, the downside? Or am I going to be spirit-led and single-minded and believing that God is working everything out for good for those that love him? And I love him. I'm in progress. I'm not mature, but I love him. And so instead of making decisions and choices and beliefs out of what I see in the visible, material, temporal world and agreeing with the world's values, I can choose. Remember how last time we said about all we have the ability to do is choose. We can push the right button. Instead of the heavy metal music coming out, the worship music came out, right? So I can push the right button and believe in what God says is in the unseen world, the spiritual world, the eternal world. And then I started believing I'm going to live forever and ever. I'll never die, the real me. I'll never die. I don't care how bad things get. So instead of being the hopeless, the victimized, with powerlessness to change, I'm an overcomer, I'm victorious, and I have delegated. In fact, I need to update that. That's not right. We're family. We have inherited authority, not just delegated authority. See, if you're a prince, the king's son,
that's right.
You've got inherited authority.
That's right.
Yeah. So you want to take a break before we talk about bitterness?